Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, dependent upon You, even in this, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of Your grace given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the life that You call us to lead in Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 12 and continue through verse 17. Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You hit 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, you went too far. Colossians chapter 3 at verse 12. Hear now the word of our God. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this Lord's Day and on this Thanksgiving weekend, I thought it might be appropriate for us to have a Thanksgiving sermon. And it is good for us to reflect on our lives and be reminded of how we are supposed to live in the light of the gospel. That is, with thankfulness. To begin, I want to give us a little context to where we are in the book of Colossians, so it helps us understand a little bit of what Paul means, especially by the word therefore, which we'll get to in a moment. But I want to begin giving us a little context, and Paul, in the first two chapters of the epistle to the Colossians, explains our salvation in Christ, showing the preeminence of Christ, how we are reconciled to God in Christ, and how we are not to trust in human philosophies or in our own works for salvation, but we are to rest and trust in Christ alone. Paul then, in chapter 3, shifts gears to how we as Christians are to live in the light of the gospel. And in this particular section, Paul is describing what a regenerate, born-again Christian is supposed to look like, supposed to live like. And one of the things that Paul mentions here, and in fact, he mentions it twice, is thankfulness. One of the things that should characterize the life of a Christian is thankfulness. And of course, the obvious question we have to ask ourselves is this: is my life characterized by thankfulness? Would that be what people think of me, that I'm a thankful person? When they hear me talk, would they think that I am thankful for what God has done for me? when they see the way that I carry out my various callings in life, would they see that I do it with a thankful attitude? I was going to pick on the children, but there's not too many here this morning. But that's something for us to think about. Not really pick on. Would that be something that characterizes us as adults and even as children, that we're thankful? Or do we complain a lot? In the course of conversations with people, are conversations characterized by thanksgiving or by complaining? And especially in the day and age that we live in, I think it would be pretty easy for us to come up with a whole list of things that we could complain about. Amen? There's a whole lot of stuff we could complain about. We could complain about the virus. We could complain about how the Chinese government let it loose. We could complain about the way our government's handling this, that, or the next thing. We could complain about all host of things. It's so easy for us to complain too, isn't it? It's a lot easier to complain than it is to be thankful. But let us remember that Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this epistle, he is where? In prison in Rome for the sake of the gospel. The Colossian church isn't having an easy time of it either. They're being attacked by false teachings creeping into the church. They're being attacked by the Jews in the city, oppressing them because they don't follow the Old Testament laws, ceremonial laws of Moses. But Paul, you notice, doesn't say to the Colossians, "I know it's been rough. It's been rough for me, it's been rough for you. Let's just take some time off from Thanksgiving and let's just have a gripe fest." Does Paul say that? No. "Let's just take a pass and complain for a little while." No, Paul never says that. Now, I'm not saying that there are not times where we need to let off some steam, so to say, to tell others about the struggles that we are going with, carrying on with. Sometimes we maybe are fearful of that when we're really wrestling and struggling with something, we're fearful of sharing that with someone else because we're afraid it'll come across as complaining. And I don't want us to go in that direction. That would be an error on that side, wouldn't it be? There is a difference between complaining and explaining. But, and I want to say this as an explanation of the difference between complaining and explaining. Explaining your situation. But it's not just saying it because you just want to gripe. It's explaining it because maybe you're asking for help or compassion or prayer. Paul here is reminding us that even though life can be tough, our lives must still, even in the tough stuff, must be characterized by thankfulness. But before we get into the two times that Thanksgiving is mentioned in our text, I want to point our attention to the first few words of our passage. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved." Whenever you see the word "therefore," You always have to ask the question, wherefore is the therefore, therefore? Always. Why is it there? Paul is transitioning from his thoughts in the previous passage where he says in verse 1 of chapter 3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Paul continues on explaining how we are already raised to new life in Christ. That Christ has so saved us that already our souls are resurrected in life. And that we are united to Him in such a powerful and mystical way that our life is entirely bound up in Christ. Paul is then saying in our passage, since you have been raised with Christ in the newness of His life, you who are chosen in God, set apart unto Him to be saved and loved by Him. This now is how you are to live before His face. You notice it is a quick, simple reminder of gospel truth before the commands of how we are to live. Now, with that being said, I want us to look at the two instances that Paul uses the words thankful and giving thanks in our passage. And we'll come back to what I said at the beginning with verse 12. We'll come back to that, but I want to get moving a little bit here. In verses 12 through 14, we see a list of things that should be present in the life of a Christian. It's reminiscent of the fruit of the Spirit listed for us in Galatians 5. And then in verse 15, we read, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. This is a beautiful verse that reminds us of the key to being thankful in all circumstances. And that is that we are to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Or it could be translated, let the peace of God control or dominate or guide your hearts. Notice he didn't say listen to your heart. That would be Disney. Don't listen to your heart. Instead, let the peace of God rule, guide, dominate your heart. And the first question we have to remember is, the first question we have to answer is, what is the peace of God? Remember in the Bible that the word peace is a very rich and fulsome term. And in this context, Paul is talking about the reconciliation that we have with God in Christ. That because of Christ's atoning death, we are brought back into communion with God. Not only this, but with this word peace is also implied the riches and blessings that are ours in Christ. And not only that, but also that we have safety and security because we are in Christ, knowing that we cannot be lost to our enemies. And so in other words, Paul is saying, let the reality of the gospel of Jesus motivate and rule and govern your heart. Set your mind on things above where Christ is, and set your mind and heart upon the reconciliation that Christ has earned for you. The communion that you have with the Almighty God. The new life that you have in Christ. The eternal reward that is yours in Christ. the love and hope that you have right now in Christ, the blessings that you have in Christ, the security that you have in Christ, the identity that you have in Christ, going back to verse 12, right? That we are the elect of God, holy and beloved. That's our identity. Set apart unto God and loved by Him. Set your mind and heart upon those things. Let those gospel truths guide you. For you were called by God to receive all of that. And then notice, within the context of the covenant community. Notice how it says it there in verse 15. To which you were called in one body. It is in response specifically to the peace that we are given by God in Christ, which we celebrate and receive together with the entire body of Christ, that Paul then says, and be thankful. We may not take too seriously into consideration the importance of that word be in that phrase. But Paul is saying that as a Christian, as a recipient of the peace of God and inclusion in the body of Christ, we are to be thankful. We are to exist as thankful people. We are to be characterized by thankfulness. Thankfulness is what we are to be made of, if you will. You know, we commonly say to our children, you know, especially if they want to quit something, and you say, well, Rosemas don't quit, right? Or Arsons don't quit, or whatever it is, right? Yeah, we don't quit. We're not quitters. That's fine. I can do that. But Christians are to be thankful. Not complainers. Christians are to be thankful. And it should be, and I would insist that we seek to walk in step with the Spirit on this, that we as a church would be characterized as a thankful church. And this will only be possible if we understand and continue to grow in understanding and believing in Christ and the peace that He has given to us. We must understand that relationship. Because if we leave this place and we say, pulling my boots on by my bootstraps, I'm going to be more thankful. If that's the way we leave this place, you might be thankful today. You might be a little more thankful tomorrow. But it will quickly go away. Just like all your New Year's resolutions. Quickly go away. Why? Because there has to be a heart change. There has to be a reorientation to our life, and we must be strengthened by God Himself, not ourselves. We must walk in the life and power of Jesus, not in ourselves. We will most certainly will fail if we do that. If we seek to walk in our own strength. even in difficult times, we can be thankful. Why? Because though the world would seek to steal away everything we have in this life, we are still eternally rich in Christ. And we have to remember that. We sometimes got our eyes focused so much on our feet that we forget to look up at Christ. We look at what's right in front of us, but we forget the goal. We forget the hope that is set before us of where we are going and who is taking us there. Even in difficult times, even if we, like our brothers and sisters in China that are imprisoned for the faith, even if that were to happen to us, we can still be thankful. We should still be thankful. Because we still have everything. Everything that really matters. We have Christ. We have life in Him. My brothers and sisters, we will not be thankful people until we are acutely aware of how dead we were apart from Christ, and how alive we are now in Him. For when we understand that, then we must be thankful. Our hearts will be taken captive by thankfulness, because there is nothing else we can respond with. If you are destined for hell, but now you are destined to heaven, what other response could you have but thankfulness? To be reminded that that course, that different course, wasn't because of you, but entirely because of God and His grace. What else could you respond with than thanksgiving? And now you say, well, I know how to be thankful, to set our hearts and minds upon Christ and the peace which God has obtained for us. But what does thankfulness actually look like in my life and in the life of the church? Well, when we look at verse 17, we are given the answer. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In everything that we do, it is all to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that in everything we say and everything we do, it should reflect Christ. And we should act in such a way and speak in such a way that the name of Christ is esteemed by all. And as we seek to glorify Christ in all that we speak and all that we do, we are to give thanks to the Father through Christ. Through Christ. Notice there the mediatory work of Christ is mentioned. That we come to the Father through the Son. We are to give joyful thanks to the Father in all that we do through Christ. Again, there is that salvation held out to us to remind us of just how much we have to be thankful for. I want us to think about the significance of why we are called to do that. Because if we grumble or complain, or we are bitter or angry with our life situation, we are really blaming God. And saying to our Heavenly Father, "You didn't plan my life right." We're actually accusing God of evil. That God has an evil intent toward us. That our Heavenly Father doesn't love us enough to care for us in all of life. And that He did me harm without any blessing. Do you see why it's so wrong and why it is so sinful for us to grumble and complain or be bitter or angry with God? Now, I do want to make a distinction here. As I said before, there's a difference between complaining and petitioning or explaining to the Lord. If we're struggling with a circumstance that we find ourselves in, it's not wrong to go to the Lord and explain to Him the situation. You see that in the Psalms often. The Lord already knows our situation a lot better than we do. But we need to tell Him about it. It's good and healthy for us to do that. We need to do it. It is right that we tell our Heavenly Father the situation that we are struggling with. It is right for us to tell close friends and family about our struggles and difficult circumstances. But you see, the difference between complaining and explaining or petitioning is that with complaining, you are upset with what is happening. And you want it to go away because you have a better plan than God does. If we are explaining and petitioning to the Lord or explaining to others what is going on in our lives, it is doing so seeking compassion and asking for help. Whether that is help from God to give us the strength to endure, or whether it's asking for prayer from a brother or sister in Christ. I think of the situation that we are in right now with this whole COVID thing as a church. And while there is so much, as I said, that we could grumble or complain about, let us resist temptation and instead set our hearts and minds on Christ and remember the peace that He gives to us and seek to live thankful lives before His face for His glory. Because there is a lot that we have to be thankful for. I think of this congregation. And how I'm thankful for every single person in it. And how I'm thankful, whether rain or shine, inside or outside, there was dedication from our church to come together and worship. That's something to thank God for and praise God for. I'm thankful that despite these lockdowns and various struggles, not one member of our church has walked away from the faith or not come back. A lot of other churches are going to struggle with that. I've talked to a lot of other ministers about it, and that's a fear that they all have, and they're seeing it play out in front of their eyes. And as of yet, we haven't had that problem. Do we say, "Wow, that's because we're such a great group of people"? No, it's because God's been that faithful. And He has been that good to us. No one in our congregation thus far has gotten sick with this disease either. What a blessing. There might be a time when maybe we get sick. Maybe we all get sick. Maybe some of us die. But even in that, we can give thanks. Because we know where we're going. And we know that even this disease is in the hands of our Father. We can give thanks to be where we are right now. Right? That we once again have a building to worship in. We still have freedom in this country to worship our God. Many of our brothers and sisters don't have that freedom. We are blessed. No one in our congregation has lost their job due to this shutdown or lost even significant income. Again, a reason to thank the Lord and see His hand in it. See how He continues to bless us. Even think of all the technological advances that have happened over the last even 10 years and how that has served us. God used all that to serve us, to keep giving us the grace of Christ through the medium of technology. It's a wonderful thing. We have so much to be thankful for. And brothers and sisters, no matter what happens in the future, let us remember that everything in life, even the difficulties that we face, they are all a gift from our Heavenly Father. And so let us be mature, keeping our eyes fixed on Christ, setting our hearts and minds on His gospel, that we would be so filled with Him by the Holy Spirit that we would live thankful lives. Whether we are on the tops of mountains or we are in the darkest valleys, may we remember the reason that we always have for thanksgiving. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, set our minds upon Christ and set our hearts upon the peace that we have with You through Him. Lord, there is so much vying for our attention. And we pray, Lord, from the depths of our hearts, with exasperation and hunger and thirst, please, Lord, fill us. Fill us with Your grace. Fill us with Your love. And remind us every day of how much we have in Christ and how much we have to be thankful for. Heavenly Father, may You grow us in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ in such a wonderful way that we would be known by all as a thankful people that glorify Your name. May that be what is said of us. May You so transform our hearts and lives that that would be true. Truer in the future than it is now. Forgive us, Lord, when we have sinned in complaining against you. And help us to remember when we have sinned of the forgiveness and peace that we have in Christ, and that our identity, praise be to you, our God, that our identity is not wrapped up in our works, but our identity is entirely in Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have peace. That we have peace with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.